We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. Thanks for tuning in today. And we are proud to be back on the air, glad to be back on the air. Thankful for the privilege of bringing you the Word of God today. And so I just want to share a few announcements with you. We have a service. I've never mentioned this here on the radio program because it's been kind of a new program, a new service that we've been doing. And it's a young adult service. It's called Unencumbered. They actually have a time of food beforehand, and then the service is, it's a very loosely structured service. It's just a time where young people come and they seek the face of God. It's not just young adults. It's open to whoever, but if you're interested, you can go to our website, meritassembly.com. You can find out more information on that. And it meets on the first and the third Friday of every month. And also coming up, Monday is our Women of Worth. They're having a potluck this month. The eating portion starts at 6:30. The service starts at 7 p.m. That is on Monday night in our fellowship hall. You know, for a church that only runs about 50 total adults and children combined on Sunday morning, our facilities sure get a workout, and we're very thankful for that. We want to be faithful stewards of what God has given to us. Also this Sunday, we are celebrating the church's 63rd anniversary, and I'm going to be bringing a word. Specifically, the word I'm going to be preaching on Sunday morning is about healing, and so we want you to come and be a part of that. So those are some of the announcements that are coming up. We've also we've got kids that are fundraising during this summertime. We've got a car wash fundraiser on June the 13th, a spaghetti dinner fundraiser for them on the 26th, and there's one more. Oh, on July the 12th, we have a fundraising auction for them. We have some people in our church that just create some incredible dishes, and so we're going to be auctioning some of those off, trying to help kids raise some money for summer projects that they are working on. That's going to result in people giving their heart to Jesus, growing in the Lord, and being transformed to the glory of God. So that's what's coming up here in just the next few weeks. We want to take you to Acts chapter 10 today. Acts chapter 10. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 24, probably read down to verse number 29 to begin with. And it says, "And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up. I myself am also a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me?'" And so we've talked about a lot of these principles. We've talked about the standoffishness, the exclusiveness that some people have towards ministry, that unless you are exactly like them, they don't want to have anything to do with you. And I'm so thankful that the body of Christ is bigger than the Assemblies of God. It's bigger than Bob Arthur's. It's bigger than Merit Assembly of God. It is bigger than Florida. The kingdom of God is designed to include people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, people who have bowed their knee and used their tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead and that he's coming again. And so it was a little over a week ago, I received an email, and I'll just go ahead and mention the church. It was an email from someone at First Baptist Church of Merritt Island, and in the email they said that Pastor Titus Green challenges his congregation every week to be praying for one of the other churches and their pastors and things like that. And that is a tremendous thing. We are not in competition with one another. We're in cooperation. We're on the same team. You know, if you get some military personnel together privately, you know, there may be some ribbing that goes back and forth between the Marines and the Navy and the Army and the Air Force and the Coast Guard and stuff like that. There might be some inner agency ribbing that goes on there. But when the battle breaks out, when the enemy is engaged, everybody knows that they are on the same side. And so today, let me get back to the email. So this man sends me this email and, you know, informs us that, you know, he's been praying for us and for our church. And I want to thank you for those who have been praying, because we want to see more people get saved. That's the bottom line. We want to see people get saved. We want to see people grow in their faith and find their place in the body of Christ. We want to restore value. And this passage of scripture that we're talking about here today, it's going to fall right in line with our mission statement of restoring value spiritually and relationally. So this man, you know, sends me an email, and I sent him an email in response, and I said, you know, we're very thankful for the ministry of First Baptist Church of Merritt Island. We're thankful, and we partner with them in some of their ministries there. We've got volunteers from our church that actually serve in some of their ministries, like the Alternative Pregnancy Center, and we're thankful, and we want to help them and equip them to fulfill their mission here in Brevard County. And he sent me back an email, and he said, you know, thank you for everything you're doing. He said, very rarely do I get any feedback other than thank you for praying and stuff like that. You know, I've gone to other pastors, and because when I came to the church, I know what it was like to have major facilities needs, buildings needs, and not have the funds to do it. And so there have been times when I've gone to churches and said, hey, you know, we have been where you are. Is there anything that we can do to help you? There's a very, very large church over in the central part of the state, a very large church, and we took a group of our men over a number of years ago and had a work day building their facility. There was more of our men there working on the project that day than there were men from their church. It's not about the size. It is about what can we do to fulfill the spirit of unity and the bond of peace and help one another to accomplish that goal. So if you can only minister to people who look just like you, I want you to know that God wants to bring about a change in your heart. The church ought to be the first one that speaks up against racial issues here in America. We ought to say there's no place for that in the body of Christ. There's no place for that in the body of Christ. Now, there are other issues. There are social issues, and there the church should be standing arm in arm when it comes to biblical values being under attack here in America. I was talking to a missionary recently, and he says, listen, over in the field where I serve, because there are so few Christians, and if I told you what field that was, you'd be amazed, because if you've studied any history at all, you'd be amazed at how far that region has deteriorated in their relationship with Jesus. But he said, when you find a believer in the area that we serve, you're not really all that concerned with the label that they have, because you finally have found an ally. You have found a person in relationship with Jesus. And so I want you to see that Cornelius really didn't know why he sent for Peter. Peter didn't know why God had told him to go. And here it goes on and it says, you know that it was unlawful, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And it's interesting that God begins to deal with Peter and bring revelation to him before he brings about the fulfillment of this encounter on behalf of Cornelius. The scripture says the judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. You carry that a step further, and Malachi describes that judgment begins with the pastors and the priests, the leadership of the community. Guys, I want you to know, we don't have time to fool around with sin anymore. We don't have time to be immature anymore. We need to grow up in our faith. We need to allow God to broaden our vision. The other day I was leaving the radio studio here, and I got a phone call, and I didn't recognize the number, but I recognized the area, and I thought it might be one person calling me, and it was somebody else. And it was a pastor that I had worked for a long time ago. And he was sharing with me some news that was really rattling to me. It wasn't pleasant news. It was not disharmony. He was, talking about, what a valued colleague that he thought that we were, and told us of blessings that we had been nearly three decades ago. And I shared with him, because he's pastored the same church for 33 years. He pastors in a community where there's not a lot going on. And I said, I believe that God used you to bring about a vision that was bigger than that region had ever seen before. And that's what God was doing here in Peter. He was broadening his vision. He was allowing him to see that it was more than just reaching the Jewish people, that it was about reaching the nations. That's not even a New Testament concept. It's actually an Old Testament concept. Jesus says, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The passage that he's quoting at that time says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, for all people groups. And so God was he was using the Jewish people as the tribe, if you will, of bringing about the Messiah. But his vision has always been to take away the sins of the world. It's always been about restoring the lost to their Savior. It's been about restoring the health to the broken. And so Peter begins by this dialogue with Cornelius by describing what God has shown him just in the past 3 days. Can I share it with you? But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And so here is this Jewish person telling this Gentile centurion, he said, you're not common, you're extraordinary. You're not unclean. God has sent Jesus to die for your sins just the same as he has for mine. There's such a concerted effort in society to beat people down and insult them and try and demean them, which is exactly the opposite of what God wants to do for you. Today, I want you to know that you are not average. God, especially if Jesus is living in your heart, you're extraordinary. You have unique and extraordinary gifts that God wants to bring to fruition. He really does. I believe it is time for us to stop giving the world our best and to begin to give God our best talents, the best of our time, the best of our finances, the best of our resources, whatever it is. I believe that the best and most creative minds should be functioning inside the kingdom of God. I believe that Christians are the most valued employees a company could have. You know, what we are seeing right now in America is the very same thing that we read about in the Old Testament. Recently, there was a Marine who was court-martialed because she refused to take off of her computer a little piece of paper. It was not even a direct scriptural quote. It was pretty close, but it had been reworded to make it personal, and that is, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." And they came in and they wanted her to take that down, and even though other people had it, I don't know all of the details, but they knew that if they attacked that person, that it would have to be something to do with their faith. That's exactly what took place with Daniel. When they said, over the next 30 days, you can't pray to anyone except for Darius, the king. And they set that statute in place specifically to isolate Daniel. And you talk about the atrocities. That violation of that edict in Daniel's time was a death sentence. Not bowing down to a golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar had erected, that was a death sentence. And in both of those cases, God came through and delivered them. Now, I want to ask you, because Daniel was the most extraordinarily gifted administrator in the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. He had also held that role in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar and his son. When trouble broke out and no one knew how to interpret what was going on, they sent for Daniel because he had been wiser and more gifted in governing than anybody else. When Darius was establishing his government and they were setting up all of these officials throughout the realm of the kingdom, it says that Daniel was more gifted than anybody else, and so he was going to make him second in the kingdom. And what happened was jealousy arose. Jealousy arose at that time, and so they lashed out and they tried to isolate Daniel because they were jealous. But yet, when trouble comes, it is those that are excelling with God that are sought out to be the problem solvers. And so I want you to know, if you are under fire for your faith, if there are people who, you know, are jealous of you because God has gifted you, I want you to know you're in good company. Actually, Jesus says when that begins to take place, rejoice. 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 I'll just keep talking about it. Rejoice. And that's what we are doing right now at Merit Assembly of God. I'll take this opportunity again to invite you to church on Sunday morning, 10:30. We are going to be feasting at the King's table. This will be our 63rd anniversary service. It's also a communion service, but we're also going to be praying for healing. We are availing ourselves of the promises of God that God has in His Word, not so that we can become fat, dumb, and lazy Christians, but so that we can actually, take the battle more effectively to the enemy. And so I just shared the premise of that message this last coming Sunday. And so maybe I'll get to share that here on the radio here just a moment. But can you imagine how this Gentile dog, as some people would have referred to him back in those days, has a man who walked with Jesus come in and he says, God has shown me that I am not to call anybody common. Okay? So if anybody tells you that you're dumb as dirt, if you will never amount to anything, I actually challenge you to go back and look at history, because you will find that you have some good company with a lot of people who were told similar things, and yet they went on to accomplish extraordinary things. They have tremendous accomplishments. And he says, I'm not supposed to call anybody common or unclean. Now that goes back to what God had said to him in verse number 15. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. So here's what God says in that verse, in verse 15. That which has lesser value, that which is common, is that which is unclean. And so if you want to diminish your value, then you embrace sin more. The book of Revelation actually has a very very challenging statement. And it says, look, if you're going to sin, just go ahead. Go ahead, continue on in your sin. You don't realize that you're diminishing your value. You are undermining the plan that God has for you. But if that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. And so, but if you want your marriage to be a holy union, then start treating your wife as not just a common individual, but as an extraordinary gift from God. Ladies, if you want your marriage to have greater value, start recognizing your husband as a man of valor. Instead of tearing one another down, let's build each other up. Our mission statement is restoring value spiritually and relationally. That begins to take place when you recognize that people and the relationships you have are not disposable. They are God's gift to you. They have extraordinary value. Look through the Word of God and you will find that God does not give gifts without value. The gifts that He gives are of extraordinary value. He did not just send an angel to die on the cross. He sent His Son, Jesus. God the Son came and died upon the cross. And so He says that if He has done that for us, that He will not withhold any spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He has already bestowed all of those things upon us. And so I just encourage you today to change your perspective. There's a statement that I read years ago by Mike Murdoch, and it said, that which you disrespect, that which you devalue, moves away from you. Today, some of you may be going through some situations on your job, or situations at home, situations with your family, and it's because you've not been valuing them, you've not been treating them as a treasure, but instead you've been disrespecting them, you've been devaluing them, you have caused deterioration to come to the relationship, and so there's distance there. Now, if you start respecting it, you start valuing those things, all of a sudden they begin to move forward. We value coming together as a body of believers. We've got some people from our church. They're away, and for this last Sunday and up to this Sunday, they're valued members of the body there. They're away celebrating what God has done. They're celebrating, I think, like 6 birthdays. The whole family's coming across from, all across the country to celebrate all of these birthdays, and one of them is a milestone birthday, and they're coming together just to celebrate God's goodness. So today, I just want to challenge you to recognize the people that are around you. One of the things that I've seen historically is that if we don't value something, that thing could become an enemy to us. It could become hostile to us. And so the church specifically needs to be built upon valuing men and valuing women and valuing boys and valuing girls. See, I think it's kind of mind-boggling when society is wringing their hands and they're fretting and they're confused over why there are so many mass murders and why there are so many attacks on schools and stuff like that, when all that we have been telling kids for the past 40 years is that they are a biological accident, that they have no purpose in life, that you're born, you live, you go to work, you have kids sometimes, and then you die, and that's all there is. Kids don't want to, you know, that's not a life-building message. That's an undermining message that says you're nothing significant. We value a bald eagle more than we value you. And please don't say that I don't value bald eagles. I believe that they're very majestic. I love watching wildlife, but I'm saying God has made man a unique creation. When we tell people that they're here by accident, that there's no purpose, and there's nothing beyond the grave, we have just told them that they have no value. Today, I want to echo what Peter said to Cornelius, and that is this: if you're listening today, you have extraordinary value to God, so much so that he went to the cross to die for you. You see, it's not how I feel about myself that determines my value. It is what another person is willing to pay for me. You go to yard sales and people are looking around and they say, oh, I paid such and such amount for this. And somebody said, I'll give you 25 cents for it. You know, we have emotional attachments to it. But the reality is God did the flip side for us. When no one else would have us, when the devil was through with us, God came and said, you know what? There is hidden treasure there, and I'm willing to pay with my very own life. Father, right now, I pray that every person listening today would know how special and precious they are in your sight. Hope to see you in church on Sunday morning. Until then, we will see you here Monday on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more.
And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more.